Hello, this is Burke Midget with The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. By the way, The Word Works, and I'm glad you're here.
Hi, everybody. The title of this message today is Three Things Jesus Wants for Us. Well, my favorite number has always been three ever since I was a little girl. I don't know why, the number threes just always jumped out at me. And after I became a Christian at the age of 17, I started seeing some threes in the Word. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Spirit, Soul, and Body, Peter, James, and John. It just seems like things go in threes. So I want to share with you today three things that Jesus wants for us. Since New Year's Day is a day to reevaluate and make plans, why don't we talk about some of the things that Jesus wants for us in 2019? I remember a quote from Forrest Gump. A woman said, "You get to start over." And I thought that was a cool way she said that on New Year's Eve about New Year's Day and a new year coming up. So we get to start over. But actually, we get to start over every day. The Bible says His mercies are new every morning because great is His faithfulness. So let's start with 3 John, verses 2 through 4. First, I'm going to read from the New King James Version, and then I'm going to read from the Message. I just love the way the Message reads. But first in the New King James, "Beloved, I wish above all things that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. For I greatly rejoiced when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you, even as you walk in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." Isn't that beautiful? Now let's hear it in the Message. "How truly I love you. We're the best of friends, and I pray for good fortune in everything you do, and for your good health, and that your everyday affairs prosper as well as your soul. I was most happy when some friends arrived and brought the news that you persist in following the way of truth. Nothing could make me happier than getting reports that my children continue diligently in the way of truth." So, the truth is that God wants three things for us. He wants us to prosper, He wants us to be healthy, and He wants us to walk in the truth. So first, let's talk about how He wants us to prosper. Well, our Heavenly Father is love. In 1 John 4:8, it says, God is love. So if you've ever loved somebody, if somebody's ever loved you, if you've ever been in love, guess who started that? Good old God. That's right. He's been love forever, and He'll always be love. So He wants us to prosper. And the word prosper there means to help on the road, to succeed in reaching a goal on a journey, or to succeed in business affairs. How many of you are parents out there? Let me ask you a couple of questions. How many parents want their children to fail in the affairs of life or in business? How many of you want your children to go bankrupt? Well, you'd be a pretty sorry parent if you said, "Sure, I want my kids to fail. That's how they'll learn." Well, that's true. We can learn from failing. But you don't want to see your children fail. You want them to be successful. So let's go to Philippians 4:19. "But my God will supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus." Now, what I like right there is my God. This is someone who knows God. He's my God. Supplies all your need. Do you know what that tells me? It tells me that because of my God, He wants to use me to meet your need. He wants to meet your need through me because my God lives in me. And it's according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Well, let me ask you another question. How many riches does He have in glory? Ooh, bukus for sure. There's no limit. See, sometimes you hear people, they have this religious idea that heaven will go bankrupt if you ask for more than one thing at a time, or that's too much trouble for God. He's got better things to do. God cares about every little thing. Have you ever, I know you probably love your children, or you love your husband or your wife or your mom or your dad. How many of you ever sat down and tried to count their hair on their head? I mean, really, every single hair on their head. You love them, but do you love them that much? Well, I got news for you. God loves you that much. He knows every time you brush your hair. He knows how many hairs fell into the brush, and He knows how many grew back in their place. And He keeps a running total. He cares that much. So, if God supplies all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, need there means employment, business, lack, necessity, want. So, God wants to bless all your employment needs, all your business needs. He wants to supply every lack, every necessity, and even your wants. Now, there's something that God asks in return. He asks us to bless others, even our enemies, and wish them well. That's not easy, but God will bless you and supply all your needs according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, if you'll just obey Him. Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin, once told Bert, it's a blessing to be a blessing. So let's go out and be a blessing. And let's give Daddy God a chance to multiply back blessings to us. It's the law of sowing and reaping. Now, let's go to number two. He wants us to be healthy. Health there means to have sound health, to be well, to be in health, safe and sound, to be whole. And let's look at Acts 10:38. I'm going to read it in the New King James, then in the Message. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. In the Message it says, then Jesus arrived from Nazareth, anointed by God with the Holy Spirit, ready for action. I love that. He went through the country, helping people and healing everyone who was beaten down by the devil. He was able to do this because God was with him. So, from this passage, just one verse in the epistles, Acts 10:38, we find out sickness is not, never, nada from God, so you don't have to receive it. And that Jesus went about doing good and healing all, not just some, but all that were oppressed by the devil. And how? Because God was with him. So it's not in our works or our own human strength. It's by the grace of God. And if we are walking in grace, then God is with us. Now I want to give you a few, you get a pencil and paper and write down some passages of some eyewitness accounts where Jesus healed all. Matthew 4:23, Matthew 9:35, Matthew 12:15, Luke 6:19, and Luke 9:11. And the list goes on and on into the Acts of the Apostles and on into the Epistles, where it talks about where people lay hands on the sick and they recover. God wants us to bat 1,000. He wants everyone we lay hands on to receive healing. But there was one exception, and it's caused by unbelief. In Mark 6:1-6, Jesus himself, when he visited his own country, his own hometown, and think about your own hometown where people watched you grow up from a baby. I was in the same town till I went off to college. And then still I lived at home 3 of those years commuting back and forth. So I saw the same people every day in the stores and on the street. And they knew me. So this can be a hindrance sometimes when you're praying for people. Sometimes your track record will be better with complete strangers than with people who live next door to you. So in Mark 6:1-6, in verses 5 and 6, it says, and he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hands on a few sick folk and healed them. And he marveled. Now Jesus marveled at something because of their unbelief. And he went round about the villages teaching. And in the Message, the same verses 5 and 6 said, Jesus wasn't able to do much of anything there. He laid his hands on a few sick people and healed them. That's all. He couldn't get over their stubbornness. He left and made a circuit of the other villages teaching. Now, from this, I gather unbelief is bad, bad, bad. There's a difference between doubt and unbelief, the way I understand it. You may see it different. To me, doubt is, I'm not sure. I'm wavering. It's still not good, but unbelief is purposely refusing to believe. It's a stubbornness. It's a stiff-neckedness that Jesus can't even break through because he gave us our own free will. Well, next time we'll finish up with part two, and we'll get into knowing he wants us to know the truth. And let me pray for you before we finish up. Lord, I just pray for every person in the sound of my voice that the word that went forth into their ears will be sown deep into good ground and bring forth a hundredfold fruit. That, Lord, the Holy Spirit, the true teacher, will give them the revelation that God wants them to prosper and be in health, even as their souls prosper.
Thanks for joining us today for The Word Works, a podcast outreach of In Christ Ministries. Please consider subscribing to receive our latest podcasts. For more information about this ministry and additional resources, please visit us at burtandjoe.com. That's burtandjoe.com. And remember, the Word works.